You're all sitting comfortably. Right answer. We'll begin. Let's pray together first. Great mobile phone. Junie, who has that? Shall we pray? Lord God, thank you for the gift of laughter, for hornpipes, and for dancing. Lord God, we thank you for the gift of your church. And today, as we think about how we have sometimes not loved one another, pray that you would be with us. As we think about things that may have hurt us, the words of my mouth and the meditations of my lips, and may all that we think and do and share be for the kingdom and the glory of your name. Holy Spirit, be your word as we share together. Amen. So as I've just said, we're starting our new sermon series, looking at the one another's in the New Testament. And our new sermon series looks at what a Christ-like church looks like in action, in doing. Remember what our church vision statement is. West Kirby URC will be I'm just seeing who knows it. We will grow to be a... A relevant Christ-like church that serves our community. You're all going, oh yeah, we forgot that bit, yeah. Oh yeah, we remember that, we did that when we reopened the building. Yes, we did. West Kirby URC will grow, what we believe our vision as a congregation is, to be a relevant Christ-like church that serves our community. What are the features of being a Christ-like church? How would a Christ-like church describe itself? Well, there are a zillion different ways in which we could approach that question. But for the next 7 weeks, we're going to be looking at the question of the one another's, the commands in the New Testament. Do you know there are over 100 of them? Little infographic here. It's used 94 times in, used 100 times in 94 different New Testament verses. Those verses were given as instructions to the followers of Jesus. Paul wrote 60% of them, and Jesus wrote some and a couple by other New Testament leaders. And they broadly cover three main themes of unity, of love, and of humility. So we're looking at seven of them in the next 7 weeks, 1 a week. We could have done all 100 of them, but I'm thinking some of us may have died before the end of that sermon series, and I'd have been bored, so probably you would have been bored too. So today we're looking at our first one, and it's an important one. All of them are important, but this is vital. Forgive one another. We have two readings today, two very tiny one-verse readings. The first one is from Colossians 3:13. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Oh, how you doing on that? The next one says pretty much the same thing from Ephesians. Chapter 4, verse 32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Now, I'm sure all of you are inwardly nodding. Oh, yes. Very good, minister. Yes, we do like a little bit of forgiveness here and there. We like the idea. Yes, Louise, another one-point sermon again. Not rocket science. Well, anybody completely got the forgiveness thing down to a fine art? Okay then, so we still need to learn something. Hopefully, you know that you are forgiven. If you have had an encounter with God, if you've met the living Christ, if through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, you've seen your sin and you've recognized honestly that Jesus is the only way to deal with that, then you will know that you are forgiven. Yay! You're forgiven! Whoop! Your faces don't look happy about that. Okay. Now, you might not feel forgiven, but you are forgiven. Scripture reminds us again and again. That's one of the major points of the gospel. God's plan to draw us back to him is through dealing with our sin so that we can be forgiven. So our two short verses today remind us that those of us who've had forgiveness lavished upon us must also in turn forgive others. Ooh. Now that's hard, because it's hard to do that when we've been hurt, when we've been wronged. That might not be easy, but it's so necessary. In our series of all the other one another's, they all start with this one. It's only through forgiving one another that you will be able to accept one another and encourage one another and be at peace with one another and serve one another. Some of the other things we're going to be looking at. So why are we talking about this today? Because we need to. It's a natural follow-on from talking about pastoral care and our love for one another, but also because it's a live issue for us as a congregation. In my conversations in my office, in your homes, in the church, in the conversations that Dan and Kath have with many of you, in the conversations that the elders have had with some of you, we've discerned that there's a lot of hurts in this church. Hurts caused, hurts remembered, hurts held on to. And I'm not being overdramatic to prove a point. There are perhaps even generations of hurts in this place. If we want to grow into being a relevant Christ-like church, then we need to be honest about who we are and about the things that we bear together, about the times that we have corporately and individually fallen short, when we've not been loving or accepting or encouraging. So I want to tell you two brief stories as to why this is important. Both stories to protect them from my last church rather than some of the stories that you have shared with me, because that would be wrong. I'd probably be sacked by the elders. So I've changed the names of the first one, and you will understand why when I tell you the story. I married, let's call him Paddy, to let's call her Claire. Claire had been in the church for years, but Paddy found it really hard to step into a church. It was a huge issue, a real issue for him, and it became an increasingly large issue as we had marriage preparation classes, getting ready for the day for their marriage in church. Him not being able to step foot in the church was becoming a bit of a problem. And nobody could understand why. Nobody knew what the problem was. He didn't trust me. I couldn't understand why. I'm lovely. How could you not trust me? He didn't trust the church. We didn't understand why that was. He'd only just moved to the neighborhood. He didn't know us well enough not to like us. Why the problem? Nobody in Claire's family could fathom why. So as we were meeting for marriage preparation classes in my office, and I was thinking, I wonder where we're going with this. A question popped into my head. Ask him about his best friend. Well, that's a bit strange. But I did. Paddy, tell me about your best friend. Random. Turned out that Paddy came from Irish Catholic stock. And his best friend had been sexually abused over decades by their local Catholic priest. Knowing that, you can understand a fear and a reluctance to come back to church. The journey towards the wedding was a journey towards forgiveness and reconciliation. I said sorry on behalf of the church. Now, wasn't on my watch. I wasn't the person who did that, not my church, but I still felt it right to say sorry, for Paddy to recognize that in the name of God that should not have happened, and it was wrong. And that sorry made all the difference. The second story is about Ed and Lois. Real names. One of them has died, so that's okay. You know what I mean. Ed was a 16-year-old drummer in my previous church. He was loud, he was boisterous, he looked like Animal from the Muppets. He was there pretty much every week. Even when his parents weren't there, he was there. He was faithful. One Sunday morning, there was a kerfuffle at the back of church over coffee. 80-year-old Lois was in tears. She very angrily told me, "I am never setting foot in this church again." What? Something very dreadful and disrespectful had happened that had stopped her from worshipping God. "I'm never coming back." And she canvassed opinion loudly at the back of church so that everybody knew that she was angry. And I thought, crumbs. I thought back to my choice of songs and the content of the sermon, the words I'd used in communion, and I honestly could not think of what had caused such offense. Until I discovered that what had so deeply upset her was that Ed, the drumming teenager, had kept his baseball hat on throughout the service. Now you might laugh, you might agree with that, but that one act had ripples that took months to subside. The lady resigned her church membership. The teenager's parents, one of whom was an elder and is now a minister, very nearly stopped coming entirely. They were on the verge of resignation. Ed, the 16-year-old, said, "If my hat offends her, I will not wear it anymore. It is only a hat. Get a grip, people." The most mature attitude of anybody, I would suggest. I mention this because I know from pastoral experience, from hearing people's stories, that those stories get repeated all too often in church. how easy it is for a throwaway comment that perhaps we're being funny, or a little sarcastic remark, or a backward glance, to have the most profound effect on people. How easy it is for something to be misheard and misunderstood and held onto. Because that's what happens in flawed and broken humanity. It's an amusing story, but in a way it's not actually funny, because it nearly made prodigals of three sets of people. It took a shed load of love and care and grace and a very firm chairing in church meetings to stop the ripples of that spreading further and for the story to be very different. Sometimes we get it wrong. Sometimes the church is spectacularly stupid, dim-witted. Sometimes there's anything but grace. Sometimes at forgiveness and love. And I'm not exempt from that. Sometimes I am a real spiritual moron. Please don't nod. I often get it wrong. I frustrate myself by my disorganization so much sometimes, I know it frustrates others of you. Looking at Cass. I know I annoy some of you. I know that I'm not perfect. I'm far from it. And if my words, if my Yorkshire brusqueness, if my heavy shepherding of some of you, if my actions or my inaction, if my flippancy and weird sense of humour have hurt you, I am sorry. Genuinely so. I am a sinner. We are all sinners. And where there's sin, people get hurt. We may all be forgiven, but we're all still struggling with sin. We're on a journey to be where God wants us to be, but we're not there yet. The church is full of imperfect people. Someone once said this: we're all messed up people. That's why we need a Messiah. I like that. We're all messed up people. That's why we need a Messiah. There are many people who have been wounded deeply in church. There are some of you here today that are carrying scars that have been left by other Christians, by how you have received church. I know that there are times, because I'm being honest, that I have put church stuff as a higher priority than my family. And that has hurt them. And perhaps that's part of your story too. So forgiveness may not be easy. In fact, forgiveness is, I think, one of the most difficult things we do. But we can never be a one another sort of church unless we learn to forgive one another. And I'm not talking today about empty apologies. I'm really sorry. But then nothing goes with it. Do you know the word apology is not in the Bible at all? Not mentioned. Forgiveness is an active process. It's a conscious choice that we make to move forward. We decide to forgive someone. It's not a fluffy, nice feeling, because sometimes we have to do that through gritted teeth. It's an act of faith. To forgive someone is to pursue another way, to pursue a relationship, to not agree with something that someone has done, but decide to love them anyway. It's the beginning of healing and hope. You will never forgive anyone else more than God has forgiven you. And that's our example. Remember right at the beginning, we said we are to forgive as we have been forgiven. That isn't an optional extra. That's not a loophole. You can't get out of that clause. The staff team, the elders and I, wanted today to be a moment of honest and new beginnings. We wanted to hold up a mirror to ourselves and to confess our failing to God. We wanted to start again and pledge ourselves afresh to walk the road, walk the way in the footsteps of Jesus. And for those of you that this is particularly resonating with, we wanted today to be an opportunity for you to lay something down and begin a journey to something new. And I know, because I've had conversations with some of you have said, well, I don't think church is an awful place. I quite like church, actually. The bee's knees. And that's fab that some of us have got a really positive experience of church. So maybe some of this isn't resonating with some of you today. So maybe your challenge this morning is to be serious about the impact of your words and your actions and your attitudes, and recognize that potentially we have all caused hurt. All of us need to say, Lord, what does this mean for me in how we are to love one another? If we're to travel to being more of a Christ-like church. So today we're going to do something a little different. We're going to give you a bit of time to do what you need to do with God. Around the church are different prayer stations. So we have two over here, one that involves a shredder. How exciting! That's to write prayers of confession and to shred them. There's one that involves sand. There's explanations at each one. We have the cross, if you wish to just sit and consider the cross. And there's a symbolic action with pebbles and with gems over here. Over there, we have a table that is about washing ourselves clean from sin. And here, we have a table of bread and wine at communion. At the back in the corner will be the prayer ministry team if anybody wishes to have somebody pray with them. What we're going to do, we're going to spend some time. The band are going to be singing. I'm going to stop waffling. And I'm going to allow you to do what you need to do. You may wish to continue singing and stay in your seat and just worship God. You may wish to sit quietly and pray. You may wish to go upstairs and use the prayer space upstairs. You may wish to slowly make your way around the different prayer stations. You're invited to take part however you feel led to, in whatever way is appropriate for you. The prayer team will be at the back if you need them. If you wish to pray with somebody in your seats, grab someone who looks friendly and who you trust. This is a time that we're asking God to help to grow to be more Christ-like and to lay down the things that we've been holding on to tightly with. If there's hurts that are stopping us serving and loving, then we need to lay them down in order for us to be the church that Christ is calling us to be. Let's pray together. Father God, we ask for your forgiveness for the times as a church that we have not loved one another. For the times that we have made decisions that have not been pleasing to you. When we have forgotten who we are, yours. We ask your forgiveness for our hasty words and actions. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would move amongst us now, that you would convict us of what needs your challenge, that you would comfort us with that which hurts, that you would come in power and in gentleness, and come and be with your people, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.